Good morning, everyone. It is Thursday morning, Parshas Pekudei, Tavshin Pei Dalet. I'd like to move away from the discussions that we've been having about the Mishkan proper and go to something more specific. So the Pasuk in Lamed Tes Aleph, after it gives us an accounting of the monies that were raised for the machzis hashekel, for the sockets, etc. Then the pasuk, one pasuk before Sheni, says, as far as the materials are concerned, from the various colors of wool material, the blues and the purples and scarlet reds, They asu bigdei srad l'sharis b'kodesh. They made bigdei srad to serve in kodesh. We'll see what that is in just a moment. And then it says vayasu is bigdei akodesh. They made the holy garments asher la'aron, that were to be for Aaron. Kasher tziva Hashem as Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. Now the first part of the pasuk says is they took various wools and they made these garments, or I should say materials, to serve Bakodesh. Rashi says, Sheish lo nemar kan. If you notice, it doesn't say anything about linen. It only talks about the wool. But we know that the linen played an integral part in the Bigdei Kohuna themselves. So why is not linen mentioned here? Mikan ani omer. Rashi says, I learn from here. Rashi says, this is what I notice, I observe. She'aim Bigdei Srad halala Bigdei Kohuna. The word Bigdei Srad does not refer to the Bigdei Kohuna, the garments that the Kohanim wore. She Bigdei Kohuna hu sheish, because Bigdei Kohuna had linen. Elohim begadim shemachasim behem klei HaKodesh. These are materials with which they covered the vessels. B'shas sila kamasayis, when they came, in other words, when they traveled, so each vessel had to be covered a certain way with special material. Shalohaya behem sheish, that did not have any linen. Okay, so in other words, had the Pasuk mentioned linen, that would have informed Rashi that the Pasuk is referring to Bigdei Kohuna. It's not referring to Bigdei Kohuna, it's referring to the materials that were made, the covers that were made for all the Begadim. And that's what's mentioned first. And then after the end of towards the end of the Pasuk, it says, now they make the Bigdei Kodesh for Aaron, Kasher, Tziva, Hashem, is Moshe. Now, you're going to see here that the word Kasher, Tziva, Hashem, is Moshe plays a very important part. Because by the pasuk now is going to go through all of the various Bigdei Kohuna, the priestly vestments, and it's going to say Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. The first one starts the ephod, the apron, and it's how it's made, etc., in great detail. And then it says Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. And then they made the stones. They fixed the stones into it. Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. The choshen, the breastplate, goes through all the various stones, a beautiful breastplate that they have. And again, it says Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. So again, I'm just giving you a few for example. The Me'il, the same thing. If you follow through the parsha, with each one of the Bigdei Kohuna, it tells us Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. Now, what's interesting is the Or HaChaim points out that it says Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, but it doesn't say that when it discusses all the various kalim that were made, all the vessels that were made. When it says that Bezalel made this, he made that, he made the mizbech, he made the menorah, and all so on and so forth, the vessels, it does not recap on each one that he made. Does not recap by saying Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, like Hashem commanded Moshe. So that's a very stark. It's an observation as to why only the Begunim are defined that way. Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. So there is an Or HaChaim here, and this is Pasuk Lamed Tes Aleph. Yeah. He offers a few terutzim. Another answer is, that they said that the artisans, they themselves, as they were making the vestments, they said, when they made the begunim, they said, we're doing this in the same way that Hashem commanded Moshe. They said that by each one. Now, but that really, that explains why the Torah says, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, for each one of the begunim. But it doesn't tell me why they didn't say that, why they didn't say as they were making each one of the vessels, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. So that has to be understood. I just wanted, as an aside, there's a Balaturim later on in the Parsha that points out that the word Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe in its entirety, and Parshas Pekudei, and anyway, if he says it, there are 18 times it says Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. And he says this corresponds to the 18 brachas in Shemona Esrei, the 18 brachas of the Amidah. He says, what's happening here? So I saw in the Sefer from Rabbi Yoshua Zatzal, he says that when the Mishkan stood, so the Mishkan was the conduit, and it's the Mishkan and the various vessels were the conduit for all good things that happen to Klal Yisrael. In other words, the bracha that we have for Parnasa, for our livelihood, right? That was the conduit for that was the Shulchan, the holy table that had the 12, the Lechem Aponim, and you had all anything good that came out, and the light and the Torah, right? And the symmetry and the harmony, everything brought peace to the world. It was just one big, beautiful microcosm of perfection and harmony in the world and its various aspects. That's what the Mishkan brought to the world. Well, we don't have a Mishkan today. So what serves for our conduit? He says, he suggests that it's our daven, we daven to Hashem, the Shemona Esrei that we said, you know, the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, the men of the great assembly at the end of the era of the second Beis HaMikdash, they very carefully crafted the text of the bracha of Shemona Esrei, all 18 brachas, right? The 19th was added later. The Bala Torah even shows why there is another 19th quasi kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, which would relate to the 19th bracha of Shemona Esrei, but we'll leave that aside. So he says that when, you know, the Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, they, Reb Chaim Voloshiner writes in the Nefesh HaChaim, it's a well known piece, he says that when they wrote it with Ruach HaKodesh, with Divine Spirit, and every possible need that a Jew could have, right, is somehow expressed in that Shemona Esrei. And therefore, the Shemona Esrei never changes from generation to generation because the basic needs, they might change in terms of the urgency and the severity, right? But you're talking about Baruch Alenu Hashem Elokeinu Sashana Hazos, that Hashem should bless our year and give us grain. That basically, that's parnasa. That's everyone has a need to earn a living, right? Whether you work in the field or you work in an office, whatever the case might be. But that's the generic bracha for parnasa. There's a need for healing. Rafa'enu Hashem v'narafei. There'll be people that are sick and suffer injury or whatever the case might be in every generation. That doesn't change. In other words, the geula that we are asking Hashem to bring back to Beis HaMikdash and Mashiach should come. Everything that you look at in the Shemona Esrei, the certainly the way we praise Hashem and the way we thank Hashem at the end of Shemona Esrei, all of that is constant. And even the middle of brachas, when we ask for our own, there's another. You really cannot think of any need that you might have that's not covered by the text of the Shemona Esrei. So therefore, the Shemona Esrei, the 18 brachas, that plays the role of being the conduit for our needs, the same way the Mishkan did when it stood. That's just a nice piece of Bala Torah to understand. Getting back to what is so special about the Big Tikkun that it says Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe. So the Sefer Torah Mechael, he talks about the following. He says we have two kinds of mitzvahs in the Torah. We have one kind of mitzvah where the Torah just says just do it, right? And it doesn't attach any reason. It Hashem expects us to do the mitzvah without having to have any intent in mind for what the purpose is of the mitzvah. Now, there are svarim that were written that try to put a little sugar in the coffee, so to speak. In other words, to sweeten it up a little bit. And why? Because it makes it more approachable if we're able to understand some reasons. So the Sefer HaChinuch, of course, takes all 613 mitzvahs, and the Sefer HaChinuch offers reasons. And that this doesn't mean that this is the definitive reason, but it's something by which we could relate to the mitzvah. And there are many, many mitzvahs. As the Vilna Gaon writes, he says that even when Chazal decreed, made a gezerah, a safeguard for the Torah, to protect Shabbos, they said, don't do this lest you come to do that. He says, even though they told us what the safeguard is all about, but he says there are hundreds of other reasons that are connected to every one of the Kanas Chazal. So there are all kinds of reasons that we'll never truly understand. We just know that we have to do the mitzvah, okay? So, you know, the Torah says, take the lulav, right? Now, when you take the lulav, you're happy, usmach them, but the true underpinnings of what the lulav is all about, the Torah doesn't really tell us what it is. That is, most of the mitzvahs are like that. He says, now you do have some mitzvahs where the reason for the mitzvah is part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. I'll give you an example. The Bach tells us that when you sit in the sukkah, one must have the following intent. The first night of sukkahs, when there's an obligation to sit in the sukkah, whether we're hungry or not, we have to be hungry enough to eat bread. And it says that you should sit in the sukkah l'man yedu derasechem, in order that your future generation should know, ki v'sukkas reshavzis b'nei Yisrael, that I sat the Klal Yisrael in sukkahs. That's what the Bach says. And then the Mefarshim, the Magen Avraham, and the Machzah Shekel says that even though by all of the mitzvahs, if you don't have the reason in mind, or you don't even know the reason, many of which we don't, you fulfill the mitzvah, he says, but look, but over here the Torah wants you, when you are sitting in the sukkah, to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim, that we sat in the sukkah when we left Mitzrayim. So therefore there, the Torah does attach a reason for the mitzvah, but usually it doesn't. Can you think of another mitzvah? I was thinking of some of these yesterday. I'm going to say tzitzis, maybe. Because it says when you wear your tzitzis, so you'll look at the mitzvahs, you'll look at the tzitzis, uzchartem, and you'll remember, it's called mitzvahs Hashem, that looking at the tzitzis, the way it's with the knots and the series of knots and strings and so on and so forth, it adds up to 613, right? And therefore, it will remind us of all the mitzvahs of Hashem. So certain mitzvahs that we do are there to remind you of the mitzvah. I'm sure that if we go through some of them, we'll be able to add many to the list. But he's succeeded in just breaking down the two categories of mitzvahs. Some that the kavanah is part and parcel of the mitzvah, and some of them, no, it's not. And maybe we know the mitzvah, maybe we don't. And even if we know the reason, but it doesn't say that that's what we have to have in mind when we do it. Now, there is an overriding concept which is debated in the Gemara, and that is a concept called mitzvah srichas kavana. Do mitzvahs require kavana, intent to fulfill the mitzvah? That just means when I am taking a lulav, do I have to think in my mind, I am doing this for the sake of the mitzvah? Okay? And some in the Gemara are of the opinion, yes. And if you don't have that kavana, if you're just taking it like you're picking up a plant at Schnucks at the floral section, you know, you're not yod to the mitzvah. Or let's say you're eating matzah, perhaps, and you're not thinking about that it's a mitzvah. You just think, wow, this is an interesting cracker. So so you're eating it. So according to some opinions, you haven't fulfilled the mitzvah. According to others, you are. So that's a generic, that's a generic consideration when it comes to all mitzvahs, whether you have to have kavanah to fulfill the mitzvah or not. But certainly, as far as the reasoning is concerned, you don't have to understand the underpinnings of the mitzvah. There I'm talking about whether I have to have kavanah. I know that I am doing a mitzvah as opposed to just doing something very mundane and routine. Okay, so he wants to take it a next step further, and he wants to say as follows, that by Bigdei Kohuna, he says, the Torah says that you shall make the Bigdei Kohuna l'chavod l'sefaros, for honor and splendor. Now, it's very interesting. He picks up on the point. it doesn't say that when the Kohanim are wearing the Begadim, it's L'chavod L'Sepharis. It tells me the concept, these adjectives, L'chavod L'Sepharis, for splendor and glory, it says is by the making of the garments. Okay? So what he wants to suggest is that Big Day Kahuna is that type of mitzvah which the reasoning behind the mitzvah is part and parcel of the mitzvah itself. That the reason why the Torah wants these garments to look the way they do because it wants it to project an aura of splendor and glory. Now, a couple of weeks ago, it was 2 or 3 weeks ago, we spoke about what does L'chavod L'Sepharis mean. We had two different opinions, one of the Netziv and one of the Sefer HaChinuch. Is it to project L'chavod L'Sepharis for the Kohen himself, that when he sees he's wearing those garments, it gives him a sense of, I am something important, I'm ready to serve Hashem, and it's for his own self-awareness, his own self-chashivas. Well, that was the way the Sefer HaChinuch learned. According to the Netziv, it is to project to other people. People are coming to the Beis HaMikdash, and they're asking the Kohen to be their shaliach to fulfill the mitzvah of the carbon or whatever they're doing, the avodah that they're doing, and therefore they have to appreciate, they have to hold them on a pedestal. Okay, be that as it may, but there is this concept of the L'chavod L'Sepharis. He says that this is something that when the begadim were made, it's not enough for Bezalel and the artisans just to make them, to take the material to the loom, and just, you know, to make the garments. It's that while they were making the garments, they had to infuse the garments with a particular kind of lishma. Looking around the room, I don't know, I know some, many of you, not all of you, were at a matzah bakery, right? At this time of year, the hand shmura matzah. So one of the main things that they do over there is that they're very careful to say, L'shem mitzvah matzah, that we're doing this for the purpose of making matzah, because we want to infuse in the matzahs themselves the concept of lishma. It is for the sake of the mitzvah, right? There's a number of mitzvahs that are done lishma. When a get is written, it has to be written for the sake of the husband and wife, and certain karbanos have to be brought l'shem, the whatever the carbon may be. Okay, so here's also this Torah Mechal suggests that it's not by all the other kalim, right? Whatever they were, it could even be the menorah, it could be the basin, it could be all of the kalim, but the kavana did not have to be one of the ingredients when they actually made it. Let's say now, but Salo knew. And it says, he wants to say, by oftentimes it will say that he did it like Hashem commanded Moshe. I think the Aruch Chaim is the one that says, I believe the Aruch Chaim says, is that Bezalel may not have known the true deep kavana, but Moshe did. Remember earlier this week I said that Moshe Rabbeinu understood the learning, the esoteric, the concept of all the Kalim and the Mishkan, and Bezalel knew the practical part of it. It was just a few days ago we said that. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew what was behind each one of the Kalim. Bezalel did not necessarily know that. That wasn't his department. He was the artisan. He was the general contractor. So he relied on the fact that Moshe knows what this is all about, and that's good enough for me. So I'm going to attempt to make the kli. I'm going to make the vessel on that. However, when it came to the Big Day Kahuna, Bezalel, Ali, of all those that made the Big Day Kahuna, they had to make it L'chavod L'Sepharis. They had to infuse the kavana into the garment itself. And that's where it says, Kasher Tziva Hashem es Moshe, multiple times, because each garment requires that L'chavod L'Sepharis should be built into the Big Day Kahuna. So in short, the contrast between the kalim and the begadim is the kalim, the kavana of what they're to be used for, that wasn't part and parcel of the mitzvah itself in terms of making them, right? Of course, once you use them, you're using them in accordance with what the halakha dictates. But the Big Day Kahuna had to exude a L'chavod L'Sepharis, even when it was on the mannequin, so to speak, before it was on the Kohen, right? Yeah, it had to exude that L'chavod L'Sepharis. Now, why that is so important, so Rav Forschlager himself goes further in that, and we're not going to have that, we don't have time anymore, but he wants to say what it is, just in very, very short order. He wants to say, because the Kohanim are doing the most sublime thing possible, that they are creating on the behalf of Klal Yisrael their kapora with Hashem. We sinned, and we really deserve much worse punishment, but Hashem is compassionate, so he gives us the carbon with which to atone. But that carbon is going to atone for us only if it's done in an immaculate way, in a pristine way, and only the Kahanim can do that for us. And therefore, in order for the Kahanim to be able to do it perfectly with the right kavanas, they have to be cloaked in such a way that they get out of themselves as well. They can't bring their own self into it. They have to say, I'm working totally for Hashem on behalf of Klal Yisrael. So when they're wearing these majestic garments, it sends the message to them that there's something very royal about these garments. It's majestic. It means I am a servant. I deserve to wear these only because I'm a servant of Hashem. Nobody else gets to wear these. I'm special. If I'm special, it means I have to negate my otherwise own self-interest, and I have to be totally a conduit between God and Klal Yisrael to perform that avoda. And that's why the Chavod El Sefaras is so important with the Big Day Kodesh. So I think we've learned something new today in pointing out how the Chavod El Sefaras is not just an adjective, but it really defines what the Big Day Kuna are, and it answers why after each one we started off the morning by asking why is it that Betzal had to say, why the Torah has to say that on each Beged it was Kasher Tziva Hashem Special, like Hashem commanded, to make sure that the Kavanah went into each and every one of the Begadim. Okay. Thank you for listening, everybody. Good day.